Redirecting. Here we go.
Yeah.
Let's do this thing.
And all right. There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Suds in the Squirt Circle Live. I am Vinny. This is Christy. And go ahead and join us in the chat. I want to thank you all for joining us and the people that are going to be coming in. Definitely let me go ahead and just share the feed and get the note out. Christy, how was your week this week?
It's good. It's good. Very productive. It's a birthday month for me, so I'm keeping busy, doing all the stuff. Saw the Taylor Swift movie twice. Don't judge me. Okay. I love Taylor. I love Taylor too much. It wasn't as fun the second time around, though, because I went with people I knew the first time, and the energy of the opening weekend was just in the air. This time it wasn't like that. They were too like low-key in the theater. I was like, I should have just stayed home and took a nap. Anyway, it's been great, you know, and work's been productive and good. So yeah, we're off to a good start. Watch GH, you know, so we'll get into that. It was interesting.
Very, very good. So seeing as you are a Taylor Swift fan, did you see how one of the WWE superstars pissed off the Taylor Swift fans earlier? I think it was either yesterday or today.
I missed that in my feed.
Grayson Waller, who is a heel on WWE SmackDown. Let me go ahead and find out where it was. I think I retweeted it. I have to find it. But yeah, there were people that were just triggered about it.
Well, to do with Taylor Swift, people are gonna be triggered, so.
Yeah, he said something. I have to find the original post. Here, let me find it. Because somebody actually, because then he put out an apology and somebody actually quote reposted it with something else. And it was just amazing how much he pissed the Swifties off. Yeah, he posted the video saying, I'm sorry. You know what? Let me see if I can get that feed.
Don't mess with, you know, you go after the bull, you're gonna get the horns. Like with Swifties don't play, like hardcore Swifties anyway. I mean,
no,
there's like Swifties, right? And then really hardcore Swifties. So
you're absolutely right. They don't play, but I'm gonna see if I could see if I could find the original tweet he posted. I can't really find it, but he posted this apology. He was trolling Taylor Swift. Let me see if I could share the screen. I'm going to go ahead and share the screen here. And I'm going to get your reaction as a Swiftie. Here we go. All right, so I'm going to share this screen here.
Oh, okay. I see it. Oh, of course, it's on Twitter.
It's been a crazy 24 hours. I know a lot of people are upset about a joke I made on the bump about Taylor Swift, and a lot of those people are new to me, don't know who I am. So for those people, my name is Grayson Waller, the hottest superstar in WWE right now, Madison Square Garden main event. I host the Grayson Waller Effect. And to sum everything up, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you define yourself by another woman and her accomplishments. It's kind of sad, to be honest. Now I got all these swamp donkeys in my DM saying mean things, and they're saying I'm a 0 out of 10. Hey, leave the wrestling to the professionals. Stick to trading friendship bracelets like a bunch of 4-year-olds, you know? Oh, Taylor's cat has more money than you. First of all, only two types of people have cats: witches and crazy old cat ladies. Second of all, with all this negativity going around, I think it's time for someone to bring some positivity. And that's what I do. I bring positivity, you know? I'm an inspirational guy. So for anyone who's had to deal with this before, I just need you to know that the haters are going to hate. hate, hate, hate. So all you're going to do is shake it off. Song sucks. No wonder you people are so grumpy.
So that was Grayson Waller. I didn't see the original joke on the bump, so I couldn't tell you exactly what he said. But he triggered a lot. There was one that actually quote posted him, and he said, this person said, imagine being so unhappy in your own life that you use your platform to shit on a woman that you've never even had a conversation with, really reaching for that publicity. You prance around in a ring wearing leggings, having a gay off with other men. Please stop acting like you're the shit. So it's just amazing to me. First of all, I got to give huge props to Grayson Waller simply because of the fact that he is staying in character on social media. Not many people do that anymore. But ultimately, it was just absolutely fantastic for me to watch that and to hear that and the people getting upset by it. Not because I'm not a Taylor Swift fan or anything, because I'm not a huge fan of her music, but the fact is I'm very happy that he actually went ahead and is staying in character. I loved it, but you're a Swiftie, you're a Taylor Swift fan, so I needed to bring that to your attention.
Well, it came off as very like crass. But I mean, I guess that's it could be his, you know, his character, whatever. I'm not familiar with, you know, his character and all that, right? He's a wrestler.
Yeah.
Okay. Not familiar with any of that. So I, you know, kind of came off as like rude and like talking smack. So mm-hmm. about Swifties. So of course you're going to get people in your mentions, like calling you out. So.
Yeah, I mean, it happens, and you know what? The thing is like, obviously he's not getting canceled over it, but you know, there's a lot of triggering things that happen. There's a lot of toxic fandoms out there. I'm not saying the Swifties are toxic, but there's gonna be toxicity in any fandoms out there, because you get people that take it way too seriously. Grayson Waller is a former Australian rugby player. Easy for me to say, and has transitioned into WWE, and he's just staying in character, trying to just show his inner heel. But either way, hello, Janet. Welcome to the chat, and thank you for watching. Yeah. All right. So let's get on to Port Charles news. Let's get on to our General Hospital, what we are actually here for. Let's go ahead and just get started. How do you feel now that the wedding has happened and the morning after Sunny and Nina wake up and, you know, they're talking in bed, or actually I think it's the day after they're going to bed and they realize that, you know, Michael and Willow and Wiley have to leave very quickly. And we know why that is. How do you feel? Mm-hmm. How do you feel about this storyline? How it's going to be playing out now that Michael knows that Nina's the one? They got confirmation that Nina's the one that turned him into the SEC.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I hope Michael does something. I hope they don't just like tease this up to like too much, because something needs to happen here to propel that forward now that he knows. Because she's kept that secret for so long that I really just want it to come out, because they got through the wedding and Sonny didn't find out. So I really want Sonny to find out now who he married and what secret she's keeping. So I want it to come to light, and I hope Michael's kind of the catalyst for that.
Do you think that Sonny and Nina will stay together through this, or do you think that it's going to turn into the end of their marriage?
I mean, personally, I'm not a Sona fan, so she could be his next divorce for all I care, but might not get my wish. They might just stick it out and you might say, well, I understand why you did it and I love you anyway. I mean, it could surprise me. Like it could go either way, to be honest. So, I mean, I'm personally like hope they have some at least really good dramatic scenes and some like really good fight scenes of them like yelling and screaming at each other's throats. Like that would be great. Just for good drama.
I agree. I completely agree with you. Because I mean there's definitely two things, two schools of thought here. One is we know that Carly and Drew did practice, well, not so much Drew, but Carly did do the insider trading. Even though Drew and Michael tried to warn her against it, she did participate. She did commit a crime, white collar or not, and Drew has taken the fall for it. So, I mean, Sonny being somebody who's not innocent himself, as we know that, I honestly think they'll be able to weather the storm. I don't know if they're going to write it that way or not. I really think that they will be able to. I just don't want to see Sonny and Carly back together because they are a toxic couple. And I don't want that to be a crutch.
I just think it'd be so boring if they let Sonny and Nina get back together, though, without any, like, huge rift or conflict between them. Like, I think it would be more interesting if, like, Sonny goes off on her and, like, doesn't want to be around her or something for a few days. And maybe, like, talks to Carly and then she's all like, you can talk to Carly about this and not me. You know, and do her own Nina thing. Like, why me? Like, why is this happening? You know? So I just think it'd be more interesting because if they weather the storm and he's like, I don't know, but maybe they'll have that initial fight and then he'll come back a few days later and be like, okay, I understand why. But it could go in any direction. I'm not terribly invested in it. So either way it does go, Sonny and Nina scenes are usually a fast forward for me, to be honest. I kind of like skip through to like the end. I'm like, okay, I get the gist of what's happening here. Like, I don't care to watch their scenes. So when they're in bed together talking, I'm like, fast forward. Sorry. Like, I don't care for it. I'm not here for it. Like that's the Sonny and Nina relationship is not on the top of my like priority list of things that I like to watch on GH. So sorry to all the Sona fans out there. I'm just not a fan. So I'm just little bored by them. So it would actually be more interesting to me if they have this like huge fight and they don't talk for a while, or like Sonny's like, you got to move out of my house or something dramatic.
You might actually get your wish. Because towards the end of the week, you see Carly actually call Sonny while they're on their honeymoon and update him that, you know, Ava was abducted by Mason and, you know, explains the whole situation. And Sonny's like, hey, we're, and then says, closes it with, and by the way, Cyrus is out of prison and he's walking around Port Charles. And honestly, that right there, Sonny's like, okay, I'm on the next plane out of here. Goes, tells Christina, we'll get into Christina a little bit later, but that's just another thing where Nina could hold it against him and be like, Carly, you know, Carly always comes first. And the whole thing that she's, you know, it's just like Jan Brady, Marsha.
Well, she always will come first though. Like she's the mother of his children for the vast majority of the children. Right. And like, it's Sonny and Carly, like they're kind of like this. Like I've said it before, they're the couple that's together even when they're not together. So you just have to deal with that. Like Nina should know what she's signing up for when she married him, right? Like he's always going to have Carly's back. She's always going to have his back. Doesn't matter who they're with. It's just the facts.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Kind of branching off of that, we did see Michael call Martin into his office this week or last week, and he asked him nicely to divulge, and you know, they had a conversation, and then Michael dropped Sonny's name, which I'm sorry, but for the past year or so, Michael has been at odds with Sonny, and you know, yeah, they're working things out now and everything, but Michael just drops Sonny's name when he needs something. You know, he's just, you know, when it's convenient for him, he'll be at Corinthos, and he's like, well, you know, what's going to happen if I tell my father that you're withholding, you know, the information? You know, and I think Martin just gave up a little too easily, you know, because for, you know, it's almost like he just said, oh, it was Nina Reeves, and left and bolted out of the room. And I'm sorry, but I think he should have put up a little bit more of a fight, and he could easily left the room and said, hey, you know, it's attorney client privilege, I can't say anything. He did say something like, it'll ruin, you know, it'll ruin my reputation. And well, what reputation do you have right now, other than the fact that you're a lawyer who's, I mean, Cyrus's brother, Laura's brother. He hasn't really done much in terms of being an attorney in Port Charles.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a lot that I think, I said this yesterday on the GH Mini Spotlight. I think Marty just is under so much stress right now with the Lucy situation, the deception situation, the Blair situation. I think he's like, you know what? It's just one less thing I have to worry about. And just said, you know what? It's Nina, and I got to get out of this situation.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. He probably is under a lot of stress. He doesn't need any more drama in his life.
Especially the fact that, Cyrus is now out of prison. So I'm sure that he's going to be, you know, calling out to Marty to help him out, you know, especially with his mother. And I don't know where that's going to go. I'm curious to see, is Martin Gray leaving? Like, is this kind of like his swan song? I don't know. I haven't heard any rumors. But I do want to know what's going to happen to him now that he did break attorney-client privilege. And let's get out there.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know either. He's kind of a minority character, right? We don't see him that often.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it would really make that much of a difference if he left or not, to be honest. And he's kind of one of those, I'm sorry, fast forward characters, no offense to the actor. It's one of those fast forward scenes for me, like I could take it or leave it, you know. I'm sorry, nothing beats Lucy in the duck. And the guy. And they actually made a mention of that last week. And Lucy's like, I had a duck. I'm like, yes, you did. I love it. The throwback to the history. Because I saw YouTube clips of that, and that was hilarious.
I have not. I have not seen any clips of Lucy with the duck, so I'm going to have to look it up on YouTube. Because they did. They mentioned it, and kind of, I guess we'll go into that now. Lucy and Maxie are having a conversation with Blaze about becoming the new face of deception.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, and it's funny how the duck came up. When Blaze asked her, do you guys test on animals or whatever? And she's like, oh, no, I love animals. I used to have a pet duck. And the duck's name was, what was that?
It was Sigmund, I think.
Sigmund, yes.
Yeah.
I have to watch those scenes. I'm sorry, folks. I've never seen Lucy with the duck.
You gotta look it up, man. I think it's like there's her and her partner at the time. I forgot what his name was. Kevin? Was it Kevin?
Probably was, yeah.
And they're just in bed, and like the duck's just like flying around. The duck's like flopping around, like flying around or walking around the bedroom or something. I don't know. It's just so crazy. But I just love it. You know, it's just one of those fun campy things they did on GH. Like GH can be campy.
Yep.
You know, like it's very campy. I think Passions was very campy. I remember trying to watch Passions, and there was like a mermaid in the kitchen at one point, and I was like, what in the hell is this? I'm not watching this.
Passions had a lot of supernatural elements to the show. I remember that. I didn't watch it too much, but yeah. Well, sort of, you know, like you said, Port Charles had a lot of supernatural stuff to it as well. All right. How do you feel about Blaze? How do you feel about Blaze becoming the new face of Deception?
Well, she hasn't made the official decision yet, which good that she needs to think about it, because it's a little weird because they haven't even really talked to Sasha about it. And Maxie brought that up with Lucy, like, hey, why don't we tell Sasha that her job is like,
yeah,
gone, basically. And, you know, Lucy was talking all this stuff about like, well, Sasha like stabbed Cody, and I'm like, but he was like drugged. I think that was today, actually. I think I caught a little bit of today, but I'm like, she was understandably drugged when that happened. So like, don't you know that? Like, I'm like, and you're just going to give away her job to, I mean, Blaze is great. I'm sure she would be a great face of Deception, but it's a little like rude to like not tell someone that you're basically replacing them at their job.
Right. So
it's like Sasha could technically like sue over that unless she like signed a contract that said she could be let go at any time or something. I don't know. But it's just a little, it seemed a little out of the blue for me, but I mean, it's fine. I like the Blaze character. I look forward to seeing more of where that character goes. Mm-hmm. What really interested me was the Blaze and Christina relationship, how Blaze showed up in what, the island?
Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute, is this a dream? Is like Christina just like dreaming this? Like, what's happening? Like, is this really happening? She just shows up out of nowhere like, hey, I'm here. And I'm like, they're really going full throttle for this Christina Blaze relationship. Okay. Like, we're on the ride now. Like, you better hop on because this is where it's going.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, my biggest thing was how quickly can someone get from Port Charles to Puerto Rico? Because that literally happened in 30 seconds. In
general time, anything is possible because they went Port Charles to like Greenland and like real quick too. So I mean,
that's true.
Time is really wonky in Port Charles.
You're not kidding. No, I agree with you. They are going full force into that, and honestly, I like the fact of Deception bringing Blaze on as a face of Deception. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, and my biggest analogy is, Deception bringing Blaze on was like the WWE signing Logan Paul. Bringing in all of her established fan base over to Deception. The fact that she's already established as an artist, she has a built-in fan base already. And to bring that into Deception, you're going to get the crossover. You're going to get the people who are going to switch to Deception as their cosmetic line, simply because Blaze is going to be the face.
I mean, yeah, that's like with any like famous actress who does any cosmetic line. Like, we know that.
Oh yeah.
From like CoverGirl and Maybelline and all these companies we have here. Like, we know that.
Well, so, I mean, historically, Deception has had, you know, relative, you know, nobodies, if you think about it, as their face of Deception. They had, I think at one point they had, was Elizabeth part of that? I think Elizabeth was a face of Deception years ago.
For a brief time, 2001, I believe it was.
Yeah.
And I just went to Jason's room. I think it was above Jake's. And she just didn't really feel like it was herself, like with the white gloves and all the makeup and everything. And she wanted to take her makeup off, but she did. And Jason helped her do that. And they had a moment where they almost kissed and it was glorious. All Jason and Elizabeth fans know what I'm talking about. I mean, it was amazing.
And then, And then, you know, moving on to Sasha, they're just Port Charles residents. So they're not, they're not celebrities. Blaze would be the first celebrity in General Hospital universe becoming the face of Deception, because I don't think even Brenda was, you know, because she was the face of Cartulo, you know, and she did a lot with Cartulo, not Deception. So
Lucy's trying to get some attention to the company because they're in such turmoil right now with the whole Tracy situation. So she's like, we need to make money if I only have like 49% of the company, right? Is that correct?
Yeah. Yep.
So that's what they agreed that they were, that I guess Lucy, I mean, Tracy's going to get 51%. Lucy's going to get 49%, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So I think Lucy's like, we got to revitalize the company. We got to make sure people are going to like buy our product and so on and so forth. So I didn't quite understand what happened with the Deceptor thing.
Well, Tracy dropped the lawsuit because Lucy agreed to sign over 51% of Deception and the 1% of
the 1% of vehicle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tracy said she did all of that for Brooklyn. So she would have something to fall back on if the music business didn't work out. And it's like, okay, Tracy, but you did it in a really devious, shitty manner.
Like, right. But my whole thing is, if you buy into that, first of all, I don't buy into anything Tracy says. I don't know if I necessarily believe that she bought it for Brooklyn. But the question is, if you think about it, and Tracy does say, okay, well, the 51% now goes to Brooklyn, who's going to want to work for her now that she stabbed them in the back originally? Like, she stole their intellectual property, put this whole thing in motion. Granted, Tracy was blackmailing her, but she's the one that actually did the action. Who's going to want to work for her? You know, will Lucy and Maxie actually want to be partners with Brooklyn after what Brooklyn did to them?
Probably not.
Right.
Unfortunately, which is understandable. But at the same time, she was under the influence of what Tracy was having her do, right? Mm-hmm. So whether or not they want to give her a pass is their prerogative, right? It sucks for Brooklyn because I really feel for her. Like, honestly, she believed in her granny Tracy and thought she was doing, you know, she thought she was doing, I maybe not the right thing, but doing what she thought she needed to do for Tracy. And it just didn't work out in her favor, and it ruined her friendship with Maxie because of it. And that's just super unfortunate for Brooklyn because she doesn't have a whole lot of friends in Fort Trent. And she had who was her friend? Is it Luke or something? The guy who she used to date, who's like gay doctor.
Oh, was it Lucas?
Lucas. Sorry. And he hasn't been around in like 2 years or something. Yeah. And like, she has no friends other than obviously Chase, her boyfriend, her partner.
Right.
So like, now with Maxie like out of the picture as friend, like, who's she gonna have to talk to other than maybe Olivia? Like, that's really sad. And I feel for her because I mean, I know what it's like to not have a lot of friends, and it's not fun. So
you're right. I think we've all been there at some point. And I agree. I think that I really think that Brooklyn is going through so much right now. I don't think she'll appreciate the fact that Tracy did this for her. I think that she and Maxie will work things out and kind of bury the hatchet, at least based on some of the dialogue between Maxie and Christina, Maxie and Felicia this week, where Felicia's like, you know, just forgive her, realize that it was Tracy and move on. And Maxie, I understand why Maxie's upset, you know, because she's like, she could have just come to me. But here's the thing, Tracy is somebody who you don't want to mess with, whether you're family or not. Honestly, I think it's Maxie just needs to, I don't want to say buck up and get over it, but I think Maxie can persuade Lucy to forgive Brooklyn if that's the case.
Maybe. I hope so. I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens, because Brooklyn's kind of at a disadvantage over that whole situation and didn't really benefit from anything.
But that's Tracy, if she even wants to take over, because she's got her heart set on
music. Right. I don't think she does. I don't think she wanted anything to really do with Deception. It's kind of why she left. It's not like she was there. Like, her heart wasn't, I don't think, in the job anymore. So it's just some, like, she never asked Tracy to do any of that for her. Right. So it just sucks for her because she's really trying to make a new career for herself. And that's not what, and Tracy's trying to, like, give her a fallback plan that she didn't ask for.
Definitely agree. Yeah. And, you know, Brooklyn is going full force with the music at right now. I mean, I'm glad that she and Chase are together. Brooklyn seems to be getting some things, getting everything together. And she's looking to sign Blaze. So again, Blaze is going to have another connection in Port Charles. That become a conflict of interest with Blaze becoming the face of Deception and being managed by Brooklyn? I think that's a possibility. And by the way, folks, if you're watching, feel free to chat. The chat is open. If you have any questions or comments you want to make based on what storylines we're talking about, go ahead and utilize it. The chat is open. And again, if you like it, go ahead and click the like button. Go ahead and subscribe. Get notified anytime Suds in the Squared Circle or anything from Suds gets posted. Also, go ahead and share it. Share and share alike. Get people here to watch it. But yeah, go ahead. Where was I? Oh yeah. Do you think that might cause a conflict of interest for Blaze if she's going to be the face of Deception and be managed by Brooklyn?
I think that's exactly why they wrote it, to be a possible conflict with Brooklyn and Blaze if Blaze chooses to be the face of Deception. So
yeah, so I mean, that's a possibility. I mean, although Blaze knows what's going on, she's the one that kind of saw the news article and read up on Brooklyn and the background and how Brooklyn was fired from Deception, so she knows already.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't mention anything to Lucy and Maxie that Brooklyn was going to be her new manager.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Again, it goes back to we'll see. We'll see what happens, because it's going to be kind of good. All right. So how'd you like Lois and Tracy? That's where Tracy came out with, you know, she got Deception for Brooklyn.
That was like some of my favorite scenes of the entire week. It was like a high is watching those two banter back and forth and her be like, well, you're messing around my daughter and this and that, and like, why are you doing this? And like, she called her out on so much stuff. Like, Lois calling out Tracy on so much stuff is like such a highlight and just such good like drama for the show. And I'm so glad that Lois came back, because I know we talked about it quite a bit like a few months ago, like, oh, we hope Lois comes back, so it'd be a perfect time because she's all Bold and Beautiful now. Like, can Rena Sofer come back? And they brought her back. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it's only just for like a little while, but it's so great to have
it's these a 30 scenes. Episode arc that she'll be on for 30 episodes.
30 episodes. Yep. And I expect a return of her when Brooklyn and Chase get married. Okay, I'm just putting that out there in the universe. Happening. GH writers, if you're listening to this, you better bring her back for Brooklyn and Chase wedding time. Okay. So yeah. I'm loving the Lois scenes. Because I didn't watch Lois and Ned and their whole story back in the day. I keep needing to. It's saved as a playlist on my YouTube. So eventually I'll get around to it, you know.
Yeah, no, I this is my first introduction to Lois as well. I love the Bensonhurst accent. Oh my god, it's such a fantastic accent. Being Italian myself, like, you always hear stories about the girls with that kind of accent, and Lois is that to a T. And Olivia's from the same area of Bensonhurst, but she doesn't have that accent unless she gets pissed off. Then you somewhat hear it come out. No, Lois has that fantastic, but I loved, first of all, Tracy, in my opinion, was the MVP of this week. Even before her and Lois having that conversation, she and Gregory had a great conversation. Tracy apologized to him for telling Chase about about his ALS diagnosis. And he was like, yeah, he's like, I understand there was no malice. And she's like, you must be furious. He's like, I am, but I'm furious at you and at myself. because you didn't tell Chase earlier. So it's always it's always something that I enjoy when you get those heart-to-heart conversations, especially for somebody like Tracy, who's very rarely vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, there is a heart to Tracy. I think she just like has this tough, hard exterior,
yep,
and she doesn't maybe easily let people in. So right. She's, you know, she's just such an interesting dynamic character, and she's never really been one of my favorites, mm-hmm, but having her back on GH recently in the last year has also been a highlight for me as a viewer. So I do enjoy it, and I hope she's on. I don't know how much longer she'll be on, if she'll be on for like another few months, whatever, but right. I mean, I'm for it. However long that she wants to stay on, I'm totally here for it.
Yeah, no, I am too. And Jane Elliott in general is just absolutely fantastic.
Phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. You know, she, you know, her and Gregory have that chemistry. Well, I mean, Jane Elliott and Gregory Harrison are just absolutely fantastic. They're icons in the entertainment industry. They have a saying in wrestling that a guy is such a good worker, he could wrestle with a broomstick. You know, they've said that about Ric Flair before. Jane Elliott is that kind of an icon where she can act with just about anybody. So anybody who shares a scene with her is automatically brought up to a main event level. But Gregory Harrison himself is there as well. So when you put those two together in a scene and, you know, you have them play even, what was it, backgammon that they were playing? You know, it's just refreshing when you see those two people going at it. And being able to actually put the information out there that we as the audience want to see. We want to see Gregory say, time is precious. And you see Tracy be like, listen, I'm sorry. I hope things get better, you know, and it's a refreshing change. I'll leave it at that.
Right.
All right. So, kind of moving on to, all right, so Cyrus walking free. thing he does is he goes to visit Austin, and then he goes to visit Drew. He is pushing his, and I love how Carly said, what the hell are you doing here? If it was a show that was on a pay channel, she would have said, what the fuck are you doing here? Excuse my language. If there's anybody under 18 watching, which I doubt, but the fact is that she literally said what everybody was thinking, like, what are you doing here? And I like how Drew pointed out, well, you walked right by the guard. There's nobody chasing you. So you didn't escape. He's like, oh no, I was released because of feeble health. I'm not in good enough, like, just.
Oh yeah. Him and his whole, the good Lord is so gracious to me act. I'm like, shut the hell up. You're not saved. You haven't even mentioned the word Jesus. So you ain't saved with nothing.
Well, I mean, a lot of that could be the writing.
A lot
of that could just be the writing that they don't want to necessarily bring Christianity completely into it. They'll quote the Bible, but you know, they won't
say Jesus on General Hospital. Oh my gosh.
Right.
I always gotta say, oh God, he found
faith. Or the good Lord.
Yep, sure. Sorry. As a professing and practicing Christian, like, I know better. So and I will say, though, that I really enjoy his scenes, because the first time around with Cyrus, I was like, oh, hate this guy, whatever. But now, since this whole, like, Christian reform act he's trying to, like, put off, it's very entertaining to me. And I think it's so entertaining. So I can't wait to see him do all this, like, shady stuff behind the scenes, you know, because we know this whole changed man thing is just a front. And I think he had scenes with Portia today, and those were very compelling from what I did see. I actually did see a little bit of today.
I can't wait to see that, because we know, we saw how Portia flipped out when she found out, when TJ called her and said, you know, Cyrus is free, I should let you know. And she went to flip out on Jordan. Jordan didn't even know. Like,
oh yeah, I wasn't happy to see Cyrus today. There were some really good scenes, actually. So yeah, Cyrus is he out there, he making enemies. I mean, I don't think anyone's a big fan of him, even Austin, who like helped get him free. But it's gonna be really interesting. I think his only friend is possibly Mason. I don't, you know,
like, that's his cousin. Or no, that I think, yeah, Mason is his son.
Mason, oh my gosh, don't get me started on that guy. That guy pisses me, like, makes me mad, because he's got Ava captive, was going to possibly push her off a cliff, and all the while he's like stuck in there on his lollipop in the front seat, like, well, screw what the boss says, we'll do what I want. I'm like, right. Dude, off a cliff.
Well, he almost, like, did go off a cliff.
Like, I'm liking Ava more and more. Like, Ava was never actually one of my favorite characters either, but she's grown on me considerably.
Yep.
And I mean, Mora West is the powerhouse. So I'm like, you know what, Ava? I want to see Ava kick some ass. I want to see her like kick Mason's ass. I really do.
I want to see her actually live up to the threat where she said, you know my last name, or, you know, something to the effect of that, because quite honestly, the Drome crime family is gone outside of Ava. And at one point in time, Ava had bigger balls than Julian and, you know, actually had more power than him. But now it's like she's very soft. I understand being soft because of, you know, she's a mother and everything, but I want to see her rise up and take charge and become ass kicker that we know she could be.
She can do vengeance quite well, so I would love to see that again, see that like badass side of Ava Jerome that we have not seen in quite a long time.
Yeah,
because what's in there? So
no, absolutely. And I would love to see something where it's Ava and Selena Wu square off. I mentioned it on the mini spotlight yesterday, but if you go ahead, because Selena is pushing so hard to buy the Savoy, and obviously Selena doesn't usually get involved in that kind of stuff, because Marshall and Stella both told Selena off, saying that it's not for sale. But if Trina overhears it and Trina goes to Ava and says, you know, Miss Wu, you know, Selena Wu is hassling Curtis to try to sell this boy, I wouldn't mind seeing Ava go up to Selena and be like, listen, you leave this guy alone, you know, because I care about his daughter, and, you know, I'm not going to have you bring chaos to their family. That, in my opinion, would be an absolutely fantastic feud.
Yeah, bring it on, for sure.
But they have to start writing her better. Like, somebody has to let her know that Nicholas is still alive. He's just not coming home. Because she's still waiting for the body for Mason.
They drop that. They like always do that where they drop the ball on stuff, and like they need to like end that. They need to give her closure in that area for sure, because Nick isn't coming back anytime soon that we know of. So they need to, end that for her. And, speaking of Ava and Nicholas, I wouldnldn't mind her having a love interest again, which I thought was going to be Austin. And then that was kind of like a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am type of situation. So I thought that was going to go on. Like, I thought they were going to like have hate sex for like a while, but apparently not. I don't know. Like, Ava just wanted a one-time thing to get it out of her system, I guess. I don't know. I think it would have been interesting, but yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely a possibility, but I do. I wouldn't mind seeing Ava have a new love interest, but before she even gets there, I want to see her become stronger. Like, yes. If she's going to have a love interest, it has to be somebody that's going to benefit her. And it's got to be somebody that helps keep her in power and in control. Right. I think that's where it boils down to.
Right.
All right. So kind of moving on a little bit. We mentioned it. We mentioned, you know, Mason abducting Ava, and then, you know, the fight that ensues. Like, I loved having Spinelli kind of help Dex and Joss find find where Mason was taking Ava. I thought that was absolutely fantastic. It's about time they used Spinelli, you know, for his cyber skills.
Right.
Because honestly,
right.
Honestly, they don't use him enough.
No, they don't.
Between him and Brick, they're both, you know, geniuses with technology, but yet we hardly ever see either one. Now, I know Stephen A. Smith has a very busy schedule with the ESPN, but Bradford Anderson, I mean, they could bring him in for a more productive run than just a couple of days in the, you know, technology closet at ABC Studios.
I mean, I'm wondering if that has to do more with Bradford's schedule. Maybe he just has a limited availability and that's why he's not on GH as much. But I mean, I always loved Spinelli. He's always been one of my favorite characters. So I'm here for it. Like, bring on more Spinelli. And I always loved his little nicknames for people.
Yeah.
Fun.
I had put a post out a couple of months ago on both X and Facebook. Obviously, I started getting into Days of Our Lives. I would not mind seeing a sitcom or storyline with Damian Spinelli from General Hospital and Leo Stark from Days of Our Lives. I think that would be hilarious.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, come on. Leo, the gay man, Spinelli, like, yes.
Like,
Leo's kind of like a flamboyant kind of gay, if I have that correct.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, like, if that offends anybody. But, like, that's kind of how I describe Leo, and he's just so funny to me, and he's just so great. Oh, that would be some good fun. That would be some good fun to have that kind of a crossover.
And, of course, some people took it the wrong way because, you know, there were a ton of people, especially on Facebook, not so much on X, but especially on Facebook, that... Like, well, Spinelli's never been gay. Why make him gay now? I'm like, I never said a romantic storyline. I said a storyline.
Yeah. Could be like friendship or
right.
Anything.
Yeah, any kind of storyline where they meet. Like, that would have been a great what if they had, you know, the NBC and ABC crossover, you know, soap operas. That would have been, that would be hilarious to see. Now, I do know, just kind of switching gears to Days for a little bit since I brought him up, Greg Ricker, who portrays Leo, is actually heading back to YNR. He's kind of got the same kind of deal as Wally Kurth, where he's recurring on both shows. From what I heard, he's heading back to YNR for a while. I'm not sure the character that he plays on YNR.
I mean, that's amazing to do two soaps at once. My kudos and hats off to you, because that's like, gosh. I mean, it's hard enough, I think, being a soap actor. People don't realize how many pages of dialogue you got to memorize a day. And then you do two, you're doing two soaps? Like, dude, you're like a legend. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah, I agree. I think that would be great. Because I, you're right. I feel like Spinelli needs to be used more. And I do love that he does have that knack for giving everybody a nickname. And he calls himself the Jackal, so it could be the Jackal and Lady Whistleblower, because that's that's the gossip column name for Leo on Days.
It's so fun. I love that.
All right, so let's kind of move on to this storyline that we kind of mentioned it a little bit, but Portia and Curtis.
Mm-hmm.
That storyline is like, I'm tired of it. But I will say that for those of you that do watch Days out there, the Portia Curtis storyline is very, very similar to what Paulina and Abe are going through on Days. You know, obviously, Abe lost his memory because he got hit over the back of the head. Curtis still has his memory, but he lost the use of his legs because of the bullet. But in both situations, it's the wife that is pushing too hard. Paulina on days is, you know, trying to get Abe to remember their life, their love, their marriage, their life together. Whereas Portia is just trying to kind of push Curtis into be like, hey, you know, I'm here. I love you. I'm always going to love you. And I want to make sure that you know that and that you're, you know, confiding in me and not pushing me away. But she's going at it all the wrong way.
Yeah.
You know,
pushing, I mean, maybe even a little too clingy, like give him his space. I mean, yes, they live in the same house now, and apparently they're sharing the same bed again, because they showed them having this conversation in bed of him trying to like move around, and he's like, I can't, you know, show affection and love for you the way I want to or the way we used to do it, and which I'm guessing means sex, right? I mean, like right? I mean, that's, I don't know what else they, what they mean by that, but like it's unfortunate for them and it's sad, but like, yeah, Portia's trying too hard and she needs to like give it time. At the same time though, I understand why, because she wants her husband, the guy she married and fell in love with. Yep. She wants that man. The problem is he's changed by what happened and things are not going to be the same. And this is a very rough part of their marriage, and it already didn't go off to a great start with the whole paternity thing. Right. So they're at a rough spot, and they kind of like didn't even really have a honeymoon. So
They're
off to like a terrible start in their marriage. So it's not looking good for them. I think they're going to need a lot of marriage counseling, to tell you the truth.
I agree. You're absolutely right. I mean, they have to get to that place though, because Curtis just isn't there. Because he just, you know, I think he's still kind of in denial of the fact that he's, you know, he's still not accepting of his diagnosis, the fact that he's a paraplegic now, and you know, he brings it back to that a lot. Like even the thing with getting the basketball hat from Trina, you know, like, yeah, I love basketball, so, but I can't play it anymore. Or when Portia brought up the fact of the graduation party at the Savoy, and you know, but I won't be able to dance anymore.
Well, that thing is, when they mentioned that, I was like, dude, that's like 2 years from now. Yeah. I think that's 2 years. And I'm like, dude, so much can change in 2 years. Like, you don't know absolutely what the future holds. You could be walking by then. You could be more than walking by then, you know? Like, I think he's so depressed and down in the dumps about his condition, and rightfully so, because he's not being able to do things for himself the way he wants to. And of course, it's like pushing Portia away. And yep, he's just thinking of all he can't do versus the things he still can do.
Right.
So I feel like his focus was a little bit better and he focused on the things he does have and be a little bit more grateful, maybe he would have a better attitude, but unfortunately that's just not the case.
No, you're right, and I agree, he has to get to that point where he's able to focus on what he can do rather than what he can't do. You know, and again, accept the support. Like, I get the fact that he pushes it away when everybody wants to be so, oh well, you know, could somebody stay with Curtis, or he feels like he's being babysat. You know, so he does. He puts it back. And, you know, he pushes back. He says, I could do this on my own. I don't need somebody to help, you know, somebody here with me all the time. So I get that. But at the same time, he has to be able to accept help and accept people that love him. You know, Portia has to let that happen at his own pace. Like you said, he may never get there. But it has to be at his time frame.
Yes.
Again, I want to thank everybody for watching. For those of you that are, go ahead, click the like button, click the subscribe button, get notified anytime we we here at Studs in the Square Circle post anything or go live. Let's move on a little bit now. Probably the worst storyline that I saw this week, in my opinion at least, Alexis and Gregory getting ready for the interview with the judge. Like, I understand they're looking to get Drew out of prison. Alexis, first of all, I've never been an Alexis fan. Nancy Legrand herself has blocked me on X. I don't know why they're writing her to the point where, I guess I can understand why she still feels like she's an attorney, because that entire interview sounded like, you know, a questioning at court. You know, she did her research, Gregory did his research, you know, but then she went for the jugular. I can't understand that the outcome of, oh, well, based on that interaction, the judge pulled Drew Kane's file when he got back to the when he got back to the courthouse. How? Like, anything like that would be like, no, this woman tried to piss me off. And how is that? How does one? I don't get it. I don't get the outcome for that.
Yeah, to be honest, I didn't really pay much attention to that. Like, I saw a little bit of it. It was another fast forward for me. Sorry, guys. It wasn't that appealing to me. Like, I remember Alexis talking about how, yeah, I used to be a lawyer and this and that. And I don't know. I guess that's not maybe her forte anymore. It's just, it was very blah. It was very blah to me. And the whole Alexis and Gregory pairing is very boring. So it's a fast forward for me.
Do you think that Gregory is better off with Tracy than Alexis?
I think that's a more compelling pairing, actually, because Tracy's so, like, mean, right?
Yeah.
She's kind of mean. Mean girl, a mean old crotchety lady. Like that's just kind of Tracy's vibe right now, is just being mean or acting like she's mean. Even if she really does have a heart and care about people, she just comes across as very mean and rude and crass. So, honestly, it would be interesting because I think Gregory would kind of challenge her to be kinder. So I think that's a more compelling pairing than Alexis and Gregory. That's just my take on it.
I think it's, I guess from what a lot of people say, it's hard to see Alexis and Gregory be any type of romantic because Alexis and Finn had a thing and it's father, son.
Yeah. That's weird. So yeah. I'm fine with Alexis and Gregory being friends and co-workers. That's cool. But yeah, that's, they're being a romantic pairing. It's just kind of, I don't know, it's weird.
Yeah.
And plus, I think people really loved Alexis and her pairing with Julian, and like nothing really tops that.
Honestly, I thought she had a better chemistry with Sean.
Oh, yeah. That was also very good when it was going. Yeah. And I know funny like way back in the day, but Alexis has had way more compelling pairings than this is just not working. I don't think it really has much to do with the actors. It's just poor writing. It's not working. It's not anything interesting. I think they're good as friends, like, you know, check off, he's gonna check some things off his bucket list to maybe drag Alexis around with him or something, but
yeah,
nothing really super compelling as a couple. Like, it's just nothing really there. So like I said, it's a fast forward situation for me.
Yep. No, you're exactly right. To be fair, I never fast forward anything. I look at everything and just watch for the entertainment value. Whatever it may be, I try to pick something out. Yes, you know, I do dissect it. Yes, I do comment on it or provide my commentary, but I'm not one of the people that fast forwards. Because I just, although in wrestling, I do fast forward quite a bit, depending on what I'm watching. But no, when it comes to the soaps, I don't fast forward.
Well, that's dedication. I usually kind of fast forward to like maybe towards the end of the scene, because then I can kind of get a gist of what they're talking about. And I'd be like, okay, I don't have to watch the entire thing.
No,
I know that's bad. I'm not a real soap fan. I don't know. But,
that's no, I get that. In today's society where everything is just so fast paced, you know, it doesn't. It takes even something that's 36 minutes and you cut it down to like 20 to try to get the gist of things. I get it. All right. So Anna and Jordan are having breakfast or lunch or whatever. And, you know, Anna wants to move chairs so that she's got her back to the wall so no one can sneak up on her.
Oh yeah, PTSD.
As somebody that's a former spy, she has no, like, she's just super, I don't know, like, super damsel in distress right now. Like, Anna is just, in my opinion, she has, as a former spy, she has no poker face. She has no way of kind of covering what she's thinking. Like, and she's cowering at this point. Like, I can understand being worried about your life or whatever, but as somebody who's in that line of work,
yeah,
you kind of should be used to that at this point.
Right? I mean, she should be, but I don't know why she's acting like that. It's very weird. Like, the writing for her is a little strange.
Yeah.
A little strange. But, I mean, maybe this is just part of the storyline. I don't know. I'm going to give it the writer some grace. I try to, because I mean, writing the soap is hard. It's 5 days a week. Some things are going to slip through the cracks. And as much as I say all the time, GH drops a lot of balls, because they're juggling a lot of balls. Mm-hmm. They're juggling a lot of balls. The cast is huge. They can't always dedicate enough time to every single storyline that they probably want to. So yeah, this writing for Anna's not the best. But I'm here to see through, because I mean, Anna is also up there for one of my favorite characters on the show. She's a female powerhouse, just like Ava is.
Well, she can be a female.
And of course Elizabeth too. Elizabeth is that.
She can be a female powerhouse, absolutely. I mean, we've seen it, but just no poker face, no. I don't know. It frustrates me. This is one of my biggest gripes with the writing of General Hospital, is that they're making too many women on canvas that have the powerful backgrounds act as damsels in distress, that somebody has to come rescue them instead of being what?
I hate that. I was like, Ava, why can't you do something to this Mason guy that you're in a car with right now? You're just like, oh, I'm stuck in this situation. I'm like begging him to let me go and he won't. I'm like, Ava, I know you are better than a damsel in distress right now. What is happening? The same thing with Anna. It's like, what is happening here? Well, strong female characters. And I hate when they do this to Elizabeth too. And they make her this like weak little thing. And I'm like, nah. All these women know how to like handle a gun. So this is all BS.
Well, it's the same thing with Elizabeth. You know, the fact that she can't stay single and, you know, can't just kick Finn to the curb and say, you know, you kind of screwed up the last time we tried this. Why am I going to give you another?
Right.
Yeah. Right. Like, Violet is my niece. So I love you. I love her. You know, she'll be in my life, but you're just going to be my niece's father. We'll be colleagues, we'll be friends, but nothing. I don't know why they're trying to push them together.
It's they're forcing it. They're forcing it. I felt like that with Franco and Liz too, but I know I know you may not agree with me, Vinny. It's just, I thought this couple was going to be a little more compelling in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Finn and Liz wasn't there. The chemistry just wasn't quite there for me. And maybe it's friends, sure, but I just, it's a romantic pairing. This is just not working. And I don't understand why they always have to write Elizabeth's like identity being attached to like whoever she's with.
Right.
She can stand on her own as a strong mom. She doesn't need anybody. Like, why do they, I mean, they put her in these awful, just god-awful romantic pairings. I'm sorry, but I haven't liked her with anyone since Jason. And I know I'm super biased, but I have not liked her with anyone since Jason. And I mean, she has not really had that many good pairings outside of that, in my opinion. I mean, Jason, I mean, Lucky was good in the beginning, at the very beginning, the whole teenage love story, fantastic. But then he died in the fire and then he was a different Lucky and it was like a whole situation. It wasn't the same. And I didn't really care for it. Of course, when Greg Vaughn was Lucky, it was a little better. But like,
so you like Greg Vaughn better as Lucky than Jonathan Jackson?
No. Don't get me wrong. They're both awesome as Lucky. Okay. They're both awesome. They both brought a great, you know, they both had their own storylines as Lucky when they were on. Mm-hmm. And I think Greg Vaughn and Jonathan Jackson are my favorite Luckies. No offense to what's his name? I'm totally blanking on his name, but the second Lucky, and he was a real jerk, and he was like very, came across as very verbally abusive and like possessive. Mm-hmm. Jacob Young. And I just didn't like his version of Lucky. It was just no. I don't think he was anyone's favorite version of Lucky, to be quite honest. It didn't ring true. It didn't ring that, you know, it wasn't that he was doing a terrible job. It was just the way he was being written at that point in time as Lucky. But yeah, Elizabeth's pairings, for the most part, I haven't really enjoyed her pairings outside of the early Lucky and Elizabeth and Jason and Elizabeth. And of course, even Nicholas and Elizabeth were like compelling at some point in time, which was like the 2009-2010 period. So outside of all of that, she just hasn't had like a really good pairing that I've like really wanted to root for. And it just sucks because they don't let her be single for that long. And they need to just do that and just show her with her kids. People would be thrilled to see that.
What about when she was with Jason, but as Jake Doe, when Billy Miller first took over the role? Yeah.
Okay, that's so good. And that was great chemistry too, before like she thought he was Jason and all that. That whole storyline in 2015 was like, oh, super compelling. Becky killed it. Like, she's so good. Like, I started a fan video where I was gonna like follow her whole like Elizabeth storyline in 2015. I never quite finished it. I have like 45 seconds of it up on my YouTube channel. But I mean, it's so like, that storyline is so good. Like, like, I love that storyline. So that was also one of my favorite pairings. But then again, like, you thought Jake was Jason. So it goes back to like liaison for me. So be like the best pairing of all time for Elizabeth's character. And I think even Becky herself said in an interview, like, aside from Lucky, that was like the love of her life. Jason was like the love of her life. So it doesn't get any better than Jason and Elizabeth for me, guys. Like, you know that. I'm liaison radio. I'm not going to hide it. Doesn't get any better than Jason and Elizabeth for me. They were the pairing that did not get a fair shot. They never even made it to Italy. They never got married. It's like so devastating to me that they never gave them a fair shot. But I think it had a lot to do with the writing regimen, who just weren't for it. But Guza liked them. I think Guza really liked them. And they had good writing for a while. And with Garen Wolf, who was like a scab writer, I think, when the writer's strike happened in like 2007. So I mean, liaison had their time. They didn't quite make it, but it makes me so sad. It makes me so sad when I think about it. I mean, for years after they broke up in 2008, I couldn't even watch their scenes because I was just so heartbroken. Same thing with fanfic. I couldn't read it for years because I was so depressed. But I'm gonna get off my soapbox about Jason and Elizabeth in a second. But it's just, why can't they have Elizabeth just be single and be with her kids? A lot of people, a lot of fans would love to see that. You know, I think that would be great. And it doesn't have to be with Finn. We don't have to have Finn along for the ride, you know, everywhere Elizabeth goes. Like, that's not necessary. I mean, the whole shower scene still traumatizes me from a few weeks ago. I'm just still that.
All right. Well, let's go from one trauma to another. and Laura gets told by Valentine what Charlotte's been going through. Valentine calls her over, picks Charlotte up, you know, from school early, and kind of has Charlotte's bed with Laura. And, you know, it was just a nice conversation. I really thought that at one point, I thought that Charlotte was going to confide in Laura and kind of confess. And whatever it was, whether it was the tarot cards or whether it was Victor's manipulations. How did you like those scenes? Like Laura explaining her childhood to Charlotte and, you know, it really made you feel bad for Charlotte when she said, you know, I don't have any friends in school because, you know, when I was away in France, they moved on to other interests and, you know, we just don't have the same interests anymore. And she said something to the fact of, you know, well, yeah, Jake's really cool, but he's a guy, he's a boy. You know, it would be nice to have a girlfriend to talk to. You know, and then that's when Laura kind of shared her history, some of it.
Yeah.
Charlotte, I like that conversation.
I like that too. Whenever they bring like true history into it and they have a character talk about like their past and they keep true to the history of the show and don't try to rewrite stuff like they do sometimes. So it's very nice and I enjoyed it and I really like those scenes and you know, I hope they have some more. I'm sure Charlotte will get a friend. Maybe Patrick and Robin's kid will come back. Up and Emma. That would be interesting. Emma and Charlotte being friends.
Yeah. No, and then it is. I still don't think it was Charlotte that set the fire at Emma's house. You know, obviously she did what she did at the hotel room.
If she really did that. I feel like she was set up for that or something. It's so bizarre.
Well, I mean, of course, security footage can be doctored, but I don't know what the end game for that would be other than Charlotte doing that because she feels fearful or she doesn't like Anna for taking her papa away from her.
Right.
But it's coinciding with whoever is trying to get at Anna. I absolutely loved it when Valentina was talking to Laura and going through all this stuff that was happening to Annie. She, in 2 seconds, Laura's like, oh, it was probably Victor. And, you know, these two former WSB super spies, Valentina and Anna, they're going and they're, you know, Valentina's hiding everything from Anna when it comes to Charlotte. But not once until this week did they start to question maybe it's Victor. Laura put it together in 2 minutes. I thought that was funny.
Yeah. Genius.
What?
Genius. Just yeah. Love Laura. Just
oh yeah.
Love it.
So let's we kind of started talking about it a little bit before. But Maxie and Lucy were talking about obviously replacing Sasha as the face of deception without telling Sasha. And before Maxie goes over there, Cody goes over there and sees her packing and Sasha wants to leave for Austin, Texas.
I felt bad for Cody. I was like, he really wants her to stay. So sad. And I mean, okay. So I thought about this a lot and I was like, okay, I understand why Sasha wants to leave because so traumatized by what's happening in Port Charles. And she's like, bad things just keep happening to me. Nothing's going right. I lost my husband. I lost my kid. I have no family here. She seems like she has all the pros on the list versus cons of like, you know, leaving Port Charles versus staying. So she's like, let me just go somewhere new. And Austin, Texas is actually a great city, by the way, like fantastic. I actually considered moving there at one point in time after Hurricane Ida, but it's a little too expensive for me. But I mean, it's great city. So I mean, I can understand her wanting to like move and start a whole new life and in a completely different place. And Texas would be quite a culture shock compared to like Port Charles, New York. So
Well, see, here's where I, thinking logically, have a problem. First of all, Sonny sent Gladys away, who was still Sasha's guardian. There's still a guardianship in question. I don't, right. I mean, unless they did it off screen, which I really didn't, Sasha's still under the guardianship of Gladys. She legally can't move out of there, out of Port Charles. I mean,
that's a good point.
Even if it was something in passing, whereas the guardianship was ended because of what happened with Dr. Montague, or, you know, what, that we never saw that. Like, we saw that Gladys was about to hit the road, and then Sonny came by and forced her out of Port Charles, which, again, being Sasha's guardian, technically she still has the right. Did Sonny pull strings with a judge? Did something happen? Like, where's the payoff to that story? Like, I understand Bonnie Burrows left.
Yeah, but we know. Yeah, we need to know the status of the whole guardianship, because if she's no longer under Gladys' guardianship because of what Sonny did with Gladys, right, then we need to just know, like, okay, Sonny did such and such, so the guardianship is no longer valid. We need to, like, know. And I guess we would have to be under the assumption that's the case if she's able to actually leave Port Charles. But now, I think today she was on with Dante, and Dante's trying to, like, convince her, like, to not leave. So I'm like, okay, well, maybe she won't leave. I think she might. It looks like she's going to leave, but she's maybe not going to leave, which, of course, I'm sure would make Cody very happy. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I think they do need to resolve that whole guardianship thing being left on the table. So I hope that happens relatively soon, but who knows? I don't know. Sonny's busy with Nina, so I have no idea when they're going to resolve this thing. I mean, it could be a while.
Both Cody and Maxie feel the same way. They don't want Sasha to leave. And Dante gives Cody the advice, go tell her, go be honest with her. And then Felicia gives Maxie the same advice. Go tell her, be honest, tell her you don't want her to leave. So I don't think she's actually going to be leaving. I haven't heard anything about contract status or her taking any time off. I mean, this girl was literally gave birth and was back on set 2 weeks later. So, I mean, I honestly don't think that she's taking any time off.
Short maternity leave, 2 weeks.
Yeah, she only took, well, I mean, she apparently she timed it perfectly, where she gave birth during their dark time and then came back when they set to, you know, they set to resume. I will say that, kind of backing up a little bit to Elizabeth, when she went in to talk to Drew and they were talking about her boys and everything, Aiden sells cupcakes. Like, that to me is fantastic. Why can't we have some kind of a GH spinoff where you have Aiden's cupcakes sold in stores? I mean,
they can make a profitable business. Come on, GH, get with it. Now, I mean, it would be great to actually see that kind of thing on screen rather than just them talking about it. But just the fact that Drew and Liz again together, which I don't think they've had that many scenes since he came back on the show, like, as Drew, since Cameron Matheson on as Drew. So this was lovely to see them interact and have scenes. And I mean, it would be great to see Drew come over to Liz's house and visit with the boys and have that whole thing. Like, that would be nice to see. Are we going to see it? I'm not holding my breath, but it would be nice.
Yeah. No, I after he gets out of prison, of course.
Right, of course. I'm sure eventually he'll get out of prison. I still feel so bad for the guy getting jumped in the shower. I know that really happens in prison, but I keep thinking about it. I'm like, the poor guy got jumped naked in the shower.
That's probably one of the most realistic things that actually happened on the show. But, you know, it's, you know, the funny part is that the ladies from Pier 54, and I've kind of jumped on the bandwagon and been talking about it for a long time, they really need to put out a GH cookbook. you know, where you have the recipe for pickle lila relish, you have the recipe for sunny sauce, you have, now we could add Aiden's cupcakes.
Yeah, 100%. Yes, they did this with Days of Our Lives, I believe, a few years ago, where they did a cookbook. I bought it and I went to one of the signings, and it was good. Yeah, so they need to do that for GH, you know, little money makers. Cupcakes, sell it in the grocery store. Come on, GH, get with it.
I still have a dream, and I'm going to put this out there in the universe. I would love to set up a theme park surrounded based on GH, where you could stay in the Metro Court Hotel. You could eat at Kelly's, you know, kind of have a theme park around. You have Disney World, you have Universal Studios. Why can't Disney,
they own ABC, right? So it probably make more sense for them to do it in some part of one of their parks as an exhibit, or like on, you know, the, what do you call it? What's outside of Disney, like the mall, mall area, like, you know, and they have it, you know,
even if some third party comes along and gets the franchising rights to all of the remaining soap operas of Days, GH, Y&R, and B&B, and set up a big theme park where you have Port Charles, you have Salem, you have Genoa City, you have wherever Bold and Beautiful is based out of, I think Los Angeles, and set it up, you know, kind of like to scale of how the soaps are set up.
I would love that. I think a lot of soap fans would love that. I think they have to figure out if that would make them money, because it's always about money. They would have to make sure that there's enough fan interest to actually make money off of that. But even if it was just like a pop-up theme park for just like a few weeks to see how it does, you know, and kind of guess like, okay, this is worth it in the long term.
Yep.
You know? You pop up restaurants all the time in New York and stuff, and pop up Friends, the experience, they have that in a bunch of cities. So they could do like a Friends, the experience, and they just like recreate, you know, Port Charles here and the Bold and the Beautiful and the Days of Our Lives over here and the Y&R Genoa City over here, you know, you could do that.
That would be fantastic. All right. So, kind of, I guess the last thing we really have to talk about now, and we kind of saved it for the end. Well, no, there's nice two things we got to bring up. First thing, something that you and I differ on, Robert and Diane. I loved seeing Robert and Diane's. I love their interactions, and I love the fact that Diane is just so straightforward to him, especially this week, and she basically put Robert in his place.
Yeah, because he's acting like a real like fuddy duddy. I'll call it that, because it's just not. I was just not for the pairing, because I'm sorry, but Diane deserves better.
Okay,
she does not deserve to be like played around with like that. Like if you're gonna like really be interested in her, pursue her. Like, do it for real. Don't just like wait around for her to like, you know, whatever. It's just not my favorite pairing. They're snooze for me, just like Sona's a snooze for me. Sorry, just not into it, guys. Sorry, I think Diane deserves a hell of a lot better. And I miss Diane and Max that used to be on ages ago. They were so good, and I really miss that pairing.
Well, Diane and
Diane's Joe. Best pairing.
Yeah, no, I although it is good to see them trade barbs back and forth, seeing as they're both lawyers. Well, yeah, they're both lawyers. And the fact that, you know, Diane represents Sonny and Robert is the DA. I'm cautiously optimistic to see how that goes, how that pairing goes. Now that they're, you know, Diane kind of put him in his place and said, it's only between you and I. You're not going to invite somebody else into it, because if you do, I'm out. And that's all there is to it. Last but certainly not least, the beginning of the week, Trina put Spencer in his place and said, listen, she, you know, do you not understand that you are Ace's brother, not his father? You know, and it's like, I can understand you caring about him, but you're, by you putting him first, you're putting Esme first as well. And, you know, Trina basically said, you know, do you trust her? Do you think, you know, and he started off by saying, well, you know, she's actually a really good mother, but I do like the fact that Spencer did kind of reinforce and said, you have nothing to worry about from Esme. I don't know how to feel about this because I know Spencer's getting obsessed with Ace, but I think that also might have him blinded to what Esme may want to do.
Yes. This was a conversation that I think needed to happen a long time ago.
Yep.
And I think Trina has been kind of holding this in the entire time they've been together and is a little pissed off that his attention is so focused on Ace. And this conversation needed to happen. And I think, like, when she let it out like that, I was like, oh, she's been holding this in for a long time now. This is something she's been thinking about for a while, and she's just been holding it in. And it's like a volcano just kind of erupted, and she just let him have it. And rightfully so, because he is acting more like Ace's father than his brother.
Yeah. Yep.
And he's so invested in co-parenting with Esme that it's overshadowing and overtaking his relationship with Trina. So he's going to have to decide what he really wants to prioritize. And if it's Ace, then he might lose Trina. But on the other hand, they just slept together and she's super in love with him. So I don't think that's going to happen. Like, I think, you know, he's going to try to make more of an effort to have date nights with Trina so that he doesn't lose her. But he needs to understand that it does look like he's favoring his relationship with Ace and Esme sometimes over his relationship with Trina. So he's going to have to really think about where he's spending his time. And I mean, it makes sense for him to parent Ace to a certain degree, but I think it's overdone, to be honest. I think it's too much, because Laura needs to chip in now. Like, Laura, isn't Laura back now in town? Like, well, come on, babysitter Laura.
Well, I mean, he did, you know, Kevin kind of backed up the same stuff that Trina said and kind of told Spencer the same stuff and said, listen, you know, your father is, you know, you are Ace's brother. Ultimately, Esme has all the parental rights. You have no parental rights. And, you know, and we were talking about this on the mini spotlight yesterday. I want to see Kevin take a more active role in Esme's life, because she is his niece after all. And, you know, I kind of want to see her go to him for advice rather than always Laura's there or always, you know, trying to rope Spencer into something. Because honestly, you know, Esme is Kevin's niece, and I would want, I would want Kevin to kind of almost coach Esme so that she doesn't become like Ryan. I would have liked to see Kevin say something to Spencer and say, listen, I always tried to protect my brother, even though they were twins, you know, and he's like, and he could be like, and you saw how he turned out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Use some of that experience. But again, I don't know the background so much of Kevin and Ryan and their upbringing for that to happen. But, you know, but again, you got to remember, Kevin hid Ryan in a couple of different psych wards so that he didn't have to kill him until the very end when Mac killed him. But I like that Trina spoke up. I like that Kevin kind of backed it up. I think that I think that Spencer wants his way so long, so badly. He wants to have his cake and eat it too. He wants to be in a relationship with Trina.
Mm.
Also wants to co-parent his brother. So
yeah,
one of these has to give.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Sure. Right.
Let's see. I think we've gone over just about everything for this week. Again, I want to thank you guys for watching. For those of you who are tuned in, go ahead, subscribe, hit the like button, and get notified anytime something comes up from Suds in the Squared Circle. We are going to go ahead and move on to our final segment of the show, the Thankful Minute. For those of you that have watched, I did steal it from the Oh You Didn't Know podcast with Road Dog. But I do want to say that we do this every week because ultimately we want to make sure that we are staying thankful and giving and kind of letting everybody know what we are thankful for here at Suds in the Squared Circle. And it kind of makes it real. The city of Port Charles and General Hospital are fictional. We want to kind of bring some realism to the show and kind of understand that, you know, we are thankful for everything. But anyways, Christy, if you want to go, I'll put a minute on the clock and sure. Go right ahead.
Right. I want to thank everyone who listens to our podcast. And I mean, if you're watching us on YouTube right now, thank you as well. I'm just very thankful for having this platform and this opportunity to do this podcast so I can air my thoughts on GH. And I'm just thankful for my birthday month in general and having a job I love and being able to do what I do online as a content creator. It's a great thing. And I mean, I really do appreciate you guys who do listen. That is much appreciated, I think, by both Vinny and I. So thank you for that.
All right. Well, you ended 15 seconds early, so that's not a problem at all. All right. I'll go ahead and do mine. And a minute on the clock. Boy, I've got so much to be thankful for. I finally got my new car. and I have to say, I've been talking on my live, on my daily live updates that I've been sore from a workout, you know, our team competition workout on Saturday. I want to be thankful that I can even do that. There's so many people that can't physically have those capabilities to work out, to, you know, move around, utilize their muscles. But I want to thank my gym actually for putting this stuff on and my teammates for motivating me to be better. I know I cannot do 100 burpees like Carly did. Not Carly from GH. Carly, that was my teammate. I know that, from what I did do and the amount of stuff I did, I know that there were some things that I held my team back on, but I want to thank my teammates that were great and helpful. So that's my thankful minute for this week. We are done. Thank you guys for tuning in. Christy, where can everybody find you on your various social media platforms?
Oh, let's see. CreativeFan15, I believe, on Twitter and Instagram. I am back on my Liaison Radio profile on Twitter and Instagram as well. I don't tweet on there as much, but it's there. And and then of course Roswell Virtual Party on Instagram as well. I am starting to do a Dawson's Creek rewatch, so if you watch that back in the day and you want to watch it again, my good friend Randy at Capeside 20 and I are doing it, and he is like the extraordinaire aficionado. I don't know if that's even really a word about Dawson's Creek, and he's really great, and you'll get a lot of cool tidbits from him about the show if you are into that. So thank you guys so much for just following me and caring about anything I say, if you care at all.
Well, I do appreciate you being on here as well. You can find me, you can find the show on Twitter, or on X, I should say, at Suds SQ Circle Pod. Also, on Facebook, facebook.com, just look up Studs in the Squared Circle podcast, because there's a page that you could ask to join. It's a private page, a private group, I should say. But there's also a page as well. You can go ahead and find me on X at the Apicella Suds. That's generally my private, you know, my personal page, but the Suds in the Squared Circle is obviously for the podcast. But if you want to get anything done, anything at all, you could go to sudsandsquaredcircle.com. All the links, all the information is there. Subscribe, get notified, like this feed. We're going to try to do more lives at a more consistent time. May not always be 10 o'clock Eastern on a Monday, but we're going to work to get a schedule as best as we can. Now that the live show happened very well, I want to thank you guys for watching. Definitely. And go to Patreon and buy me a coffee. Both of them are .com/SudsAndSquaredCircle. I will post my show notes, which are right over here. All these pages will be posted later on, either tonight or tomorrow. And that's for you subscribers on Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. So thank you guys for watching. My name is Vinny. This is Christy. We'll see you next week on Suds in the Squared Circle.